welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Amen. Lest I hold you too long. I'd like to give glory and honor to God the Father, my Creator. I'd like to give glory and honor to God the Son, my Redeemer. And I've got to give glory and honor to God the Holy Spirit, my Sustainer. And I'm not sure if I said good morning or not, but good morning, Redeemer. If you would, meet me in John's Gospel, chapter 6. And we were there last week, so Lord has already set this thing up. John's Gospel, chapter 6. And I will be reading from verse 25 to 35. John chapter 6. Sixth chapter in the Gospel of John. That may work better. Amen. I'll be reading the New Revised Standard Version, and I'm sure you have words that are very, very similar. The preacher has a unique challenge today in that the pericope, which we mean the paragraph or the unit of scripture, is really from verse 22 to 71. Now, if I had attempted to read from 22 to 71, you would really look at me really funny. So I prayed, and God said, slice them off a piece. And then God kept talking. He said, well, you know, young fella, you probably can do a part one and a part two. But we'll see how God moves. But we want to look at a subset of the pericope, and that's from 25, 35. John chapter 6, verse 25. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, where did you come here? Jesus answered them, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me. Remember that. You are looking for me, not only because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Verse 27. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set the seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So verse 30, they say to him, what sign are you going to give us so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Remember that. 31, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread. The focal verse, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. For the next few minutes, I want to talk from the thought, the topic, the three levels of nourishment. The three levels of nourishment. Let us pray. Father God, it is once more I stand behind your sacred desk. God, it is once more I cry out and I ask you, Lord, I need you to walk with me, God. Lord, I need you to hold my hand. God, I need you to speak through me like you've never spoke before. God, I need you, and I need you in a mighty way. Lord, you said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after your word, for you will fill them. So I thank you in advance for filling your people. For it is in Jesus' mighty, matchless, marvelous, and magnificent name that we pray. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen. The three levels of nourishment. Nourishment is defined as food or other substances that are necessary for us to grow and to be in good condition. For if we are to grow and to be healthy, then it's very important that we have the proper nourishment. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching already. For when someone is defined as malnourished, let's go to the other end of the spectrum, meaning they're not getting enough to eat, or they're simply not getting the proper nutrients to be healthy. A lot of times when you see a malnourished person, you can look on their face and you can see their pain and their suffering. For that word, malnourished, is really made up of two words. Mal is a prefix, which means badly. And nourish is the Latin word, means to nurture. That means they're badly being nurtured. But when a Christian experiences bad nutrition, I'm talking about being weak in the spirit, not being able to fight our daily spiritual battles. If you subscribe to the battle is the Lord's, not ours, I want you to know that the Bible also tells you that there are times when we just need to stand. Yeah. But sometimes Christians are so weak in the spirit that they can't even stand on God's mighty word. One of the reasons that Christians become weak and malnourished is they go 7 days without talking to God. See, 7 days is a week. And most people spell that W-E-E-K. But for the Christian, if you go 7 days without talking to God, that's spelled W-E-A-K. Week. Malnourishment occurs when we're not feeding our spirit with the right nutrients. Y'all know the nutrients. You got to read your word every day. That's a daily spiritual nutrient. You got to come out on Wednesday night. That's a daily spiritual nutrient. And you got to participate in a ministry. Yes. Now, I'm sure you've heard the quote, you are what you eat. You heard that, haven't you? For too many Christians, and I'm not talking about nobody in here, but too many Christians eat junk food and eat fast food. I'll break it down for you. Junk food, and I'm in the spirit, is the prosperity gospel. That's junk food. That's a gospel that talks about no sin, no hell. But everybody's supposed to be a Christian millionaire. I had a chance to watch the gentleman the other day. And he started talking about money cometh. So that's he had my attention because I had no money. But the more I listened, he implied you could just tell God what to do and your bank account will be right. It don't work like that. Fast food. Can I tell you about fast food? Fast food is where you have the positive, motivational speaker. Oh, it's a beautiful day. Oh, the sun is shining. Oh, it's a great day. Or where you have an individual that is a genius in terms of psychology. You know what I mean by that? An individual that's a genius in psychology, but is blessed in the wisdom of God. And when you put those two things together, if you don't know your word, you think you're getting a new revelation. I'm not trying to call no names, but I'm just trying to tell you about fast food. Now, if you've been around me, you know what my favorite food is. I know where all the soul food joints are. We need soul food. And that's what I love about our text today. For Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. And he's not talking about physical bread. He's talking about a spiritual bread. A spiritual bread that'll give you the gift of life. In other words, we're not living unless we have Jesus as our nourishment. Let me get to the text. Amen. John chapter 6 is a very interesting chapter. For in this one chapter, John records two of the seven signs that Jesus uses to point believers that he is the Son of God. For we looked at one of those signs last week. For in the feeding of the 5,000, is a sign that Jesus used to tell the people that he has power over quantity. In other words, Jesus is saying, give me the 5 barley loaves, which were really the size of a hamburger roll. Not bread, a hamburger roll. And the young boy had 2 fish, which was probably 2 small sardines for his lunch. But he's saying little is much in the hand of the master. And watch what he does. After he feeds them and they're full, I'm sure they went back for seconds and thirds. Full. He said, gather the fragments. They gathered them and there was enough to fill 12 baskets. Amen. Now, you might have missed that. Amen. I'm not sure if you're in the biblical numerology or not. Right. Yes. But 12 is the number of government. Yes. And what he's trying to show you is the things that the government can't do for you. Right. That God can do for you. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He's even trying to get on your pocketbook. The government don't trust you. They take their money before you get it. I trust you to come in with just 10%. So, in verse 1 to 14, we get one of the signs, his power over quality. So you know the story, and I might shift the gear. But they were ready to make him king. And Jesus said, my hour had not come yet. So Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat. Go to the other side. So when the disciples got into the boat, that's when the storm came. That's verses 15 to 21. That's the second sign. It's where Jesus comes out to the disciples and he's walking on water. Y'all missed it. It's Jesus giving us a sign that he has power over nature. You got me? Well, can I give you the practical application? There are times when we're in the boat of life and we're experiencing a serious, serious storm. And sometimes when you're in those places, there are no roads for people to get to you. There's no bridges for people to get over. But Jesus has the power to come wherever you are. There's nothing that can stop Jesus from getting to you. Amen. So he walks on the water. So now we get to verse 22 to 71, which I'm trying to get to. It's the dialogue and the discourse of the bread of life. Dialogue and discourse is just fancy words for discussion. The people are having a conversation with Jesus. And the conversation gets deep. I mean, real deep. These people had a lot of gall with them. Very bold and very arrogant. But in these verses, we will see the three levels of nourishment. Now, I would ask that you would do me a favor, that when you get home or sometime this week, that you would read verses 22 to 71. Would you do that for me? All right. So here we are at the Bread of Life discourse. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. See, God's true desire is that we know him. And that we know him intimately. You know what I mean by that? In other words, God wants us to know him with heart knowledge. Not head knowledge. He don't want us to know about him. But he wants us to know him. See, God wants us, right? Not just to hang out with him on Sunday for a couple hours. God wants us to hang out with him all throughout the week. God wants us not to be in a relationship where we're only in it to get what we want. That's not what he wants. He wants us to know who he is. And the best way to know who he is for him to tell you who he is. So he starts out with, I am. I'm going to tell you who I am. So the main topic of chapter 6 is food, which is nourishment. And it is in this discussion that Jesus is using food or the bread as a metaphor. Right. You with me? Mm-hmm. A metaphor is just a big fancy word for a symbol. That's all it is. So Jesus wants to give us the food or the bread that will endure for eternal life, which will point to the proper nutrition and the ongoing presence of God. I hope you ain't close your Bible. So here we are. Text says in verse 25 and 26, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, where did you come? Jesus answered them, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me because you saw the sign, but you ate your fill of the loaves. You see that? The crowd was only interested in performance, not the person. They were only interested in the miracle and not the message. For so many Christians, our relationship with God is based on performance. And I know I'm right about it. Let me give you an example if I could. Let's say the only time someone calls you or you hear from them is only When y'all know what I'm here. When he wants something. Only time you hear from him. I mean, you just got to call ID. Oh, I know what he wants. Same thing happens with God. Same thing happens with God. The only time God hears from some of us is when we are looking for another blessing. So here we are in the text. And the crowd is following Jesus just because they want another free meal. They're looking for Jesus because they're hungry again. Only motivation. Now, I'm not talking about nobody in here. But sometimes people join the church only for what they can get. I had a friend of mine tell me, he said the young lady joined the church. As soon as she joined the church, she said, listen, I need some help with this light bill. The preacher told me she wasn't interested in the light of the world. She wanted a light bill paid. Yeah. The church is known as a place for free stuff. Don't get me wrong, we're supposed to do ministry and missions and things of that nature. But it's the motive of why we come to the church. These people, they didn't want Jesus. They just wanted more bread. Let me quickly share with you the three levels of nourishment, and I take my seat. The three levels of nourishment for the Christian believer. First, we have the physical level of nourishment. In case you want to follow me, I'm doing physical, intellectual, and spiritual. And it's related to the body, the mind, and the soul. So the physical level of nourishment for the believer is our body, our physical body. Now keep in mind, this crowd had just witnessed Jesus feeding 5,000 people, 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Seeing this miracle, the only thing that happened was their curiosity and their appetite increased, but not their faith. See, verse 26, Jesus says, you're looking for me, not because you saw the sign. See, the sign is designed to increase the faith. But they missed it. He said, in other words, I gave you a sign of who I am. And because of your own selfish desires, oh, you missed it. For the crowd gets a little obnoxious, and they stick their chests out. They say, listen here. Our ancestors was given manna in the wilderness. And what Jesus does is Jesus points out to them that, yes, God indeed blessed your ancestors daily with manna. But Jesus said later in the text, if you keep reading, that they ate that manna and they died. Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life, and whoever eats me will never be hungry. What Jesus is saying is whatever you get in this world, it will perish. Everything that is physical has an expiration date. But what I love about Jesus is that he'll never, never expire. Jesus will never, never run out. Let me give you a little application. I'm going to keep it moving. The Bible teaches us that our body, I'm talking about the physical, is the temple of God. Let me ask you a question. How are you treating your temple today? Are you still eating what's bad for you instead of what's right for you? And I'm preaching to myself as well, so we all together. Amen? The second level of nourishment is the intellectual nourishment. That's the mind. Notice, if you will, the literary style of verses 31 and 58 incorporate a Jewish traditional form of interpreting scripture. And I'll break that down for you. For example, in verse 32, it redefines the subject as well as the verb tense of the scripture. 32, Jesus says to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives the true bread from heaven." That's all right, I know it's early. He says, it is not Moses who gave, past tense, but it is my Father who gives, present tense. Can I unpack it for you? This verse is telling the listeners to understand scripture as currently. In other words, it's happening in your presence. What he's saying is, for the gift of manna is now present in Jesus. For verse 35 lets him say, I am the bread of life. So often we focus on the past and we miss what God is doing in the present. We had a chance in class. We were looking at the civil rights history. We're basically talking about the 50 years since the death of Martin Luther King Jr. And we're just sharing that when you listen today to people talk about 1968, they talk about the good old days. I don't know how many of us were around in 1968, but if you were African American or a Negro or what they called you then, you was catching hell. Not necessarily the good old days, but let me keep it moving. The people are having a conversation with Jesus. And in this conversation, I'm talking about intellectually, they cannot comprehend what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is using bread or food as simply a symbol. That's what good teachers do. They use symbols and examples. But the people's limited minds can only think in which they can see is just the physical. They can't see beyond what they see. And you'll see that later in the text by the questions that they raise. For when Jesus mentions, "Eat my flesh," they say, "How can that be?" And somewhere in the text, they say, "Whoa, ain't that Joseph's son?" Questions. You just can't comprehend how Jesus can be the bread of life. Question I want to ask you this morning is, what are you feeding your mind? The Bible tells us to think on these things. And it tells us how to give our minds the right nourishment that we need. Too much TV, too much movies. That's not good for the Christian mind. We got to be in God's word. We got to make sure that we're not only nourishing our physical man, but we're nourishing our spiritual man. It was once said that if you want to hide something from an African American, put it in a book. They'll never pick the book up and read it. I know that's a lie. Sometimes you're in discussions, because we have a lot of classical literature by African Americans. And you can ask, "Have you read such and such?" I don't want to say it, but you get the idea, you follow me. You'd be surprised how many individuals have not read the classical literature of African Americans. Really unbelievable. So let me keep it moving. We must feed our minds with the word of God. Yeah, I'm almost there. There's physical nourishment. There's intellectual nourishment. But lastly, there's spiritual nourishment. Spirit in terms of spirit and my soul. Throughout the entire discourse, Jesus is talking in terms of spirit, all spirit. But the crowd just can't get it. Well, can I tell you something about why spiritual nourishment is so important? Well, one of the benefits of spiritual nourishment is a word, three-letter word, called joy. You see, when I nourish my spirit, one of the benefits I get is joy. I think y'all starting to feel me. See, when my spirit is properly nourished, I can be catching hell all around me, but I still got joy. You see, when my spirit is nourished, this joy I have, the world can't take it from me, because the world didn't give it to me. Joy. That's what Jesus said. I'm the center of your joy. Verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. What Jesus is saying is, I am the one who provides life. Not only do I provide life, but I provide life more everlasting. Not only do I provide life more everlasting, but you'll never hunger again. Jesus said you'll never hunger again. These people didn't want Jesus, but they wanted more bread. So what they did was they got Jesus, but they didn't get life. Notice, if you will, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, I have the bread of life. For if he said, I have the bread of life, that means he had to go get it from somewhere. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life, which means that all that you need, I am. For in Exodus, Moses said, God, who should I say send me? He said, I am that I am. Can I break it down for you? I am whatever you need. If you need a new pair of shoes, I am. If you need a new heart, I am. If you need a new walk, I am. I am. I am. I am the bread of life. Amen. Yeah. I am the bread of life. What he's saying is true satisfaction. Long-lasting nourishment is only available through Jesus. With Jesus, we'll never be hungry again. As we partake in communion today, let us remember and reflect that Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus uses bread as a symbol and as a metaphor. And when we come to the table, we realize that Jesus uses bread to represent his body. So when we come to the table and we partake in the bread and partake in the cup, let us remember that we have the gift of eternal life. Thank God for the bread of life. God bless you. Will you stand?